Jesus said in Luke 13, 24 through 30, he says, the door to heaven is narrow. Work hard to get in. The truth is that many will try to enter, but when the head of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. Then if you stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us, he will reply, I do not know you. But we ate with you, and you taught in our streets, you will say. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you. You can't come in here, guilty as you are, go away. And there will be great weeping and gnashing of teeth as you stand outside and see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets within the kingdom of God. For people will come down from all over the world to take their places there. And note that some who are despised now will be greatly honored then, and some who are highly thought of now will be least important then. Folks, when it comes to the traditional shopping at the traditional brick-and-mortar store, there is a tremendous difference, and many of you probably have figured this out. If you go shopping a lot, you figured this out. There's a tremendous difference between the window and the front door. The window of that store allows us to look, but the door of that store forces us to act. Now, when it comes to Jesus and his church, the question is, are we window shoppers or are we doorbusters? Now, there's an explanation for both, because many of you might say, you know, I'm a pretty good window shopper. I love to go, I love to look, I love to ponder and think and consider, but I really don't want to buy anything or commit to anything, and for that we understand. You see, window shoppers are very good at talking and thinking and pondering and considering behind the glass. Now, doorbusters is a different thing altogether. See, I believe that doorbusters probably got its start. That term got its start on Black Friday, my probably third favorite day of the year. I'm always out there in the throng of it, and I love it. And I can be enticed by a good doorbuster. I remember one year Kohl's was giving away little miniature Mickey Mouses for the first 500 people to walk through the door. And I guarantee you that thing probably cost 22 cents, but I will assure you I was one of the first 500 people that made it through the door because I like my doorbusters. But doorbusters are just that. They are deals, they're incentives, they're freebies, they're gifts that will make you want to, quote unquote, bust the door down to get in the store. Let me give you an example of this shopping premise. Two elderly guys were pushing their shopping carts around Walmart when they collided. The first guy says to the second, hey, sorry about that. I'm looking for my wife. I guess I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. The second guy says, oh, that's okay. Hey, what a coincidence. I'm looking for my wife, too. I can't find her, and I'm getting a little desperate. The first elderly guy says, well, maybe I can help you find her. What does she look like? Second elderly guy says, well, she's 27 years old, tall, with blonde hair, blue eyes, and long legs. What does your wife look like? To which the first elderly guy says, I don't remember. Let's go look for yours. I've been sitting on that one for a while. All right, there's an example of a doorbuster. All right, Jesus witnessed countless window shoppers during his ministry on this earth. So let's look at our sermon text today. It comes from Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Let's read this passage and see what it has to say. Now this would be considered Peter's confession. And this is where identity comes into play. Here's what he says. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who are the people saying I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, who do you think I am? And Simon Peter answered, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. For God has blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah, Jesus said. For my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you. This is not from any human source. William Barclay once said this. He says, Christianity never consists in knowing about Jesus. It always consists in knowing Jesus. You see, Jesus knew the situation and the accompanying circumstances regarding his personhood. He knew the people were talking about his identity, gathering behind the proverbial glass to gossip and or guess who this man was and why he was there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees chose not to break the window that separated themselves from Jesus, but instead chose to stand behind that proverbial glass and avoid the proverbial door and form their opinions and make their assumptions without ever getting to know him. We are called to know him. We're called to love him. We're called to build a relationship with him. And that is hard to do when a window or a door separates us from him. You see, in many cases regarding the church and regarding Jesus, window shoppers aren't always willing believers. They look, but they don't touch. They shop, but they don't seek. They consider, but they don't commit. And in many cases, this is what gets the church in trouble. Because a lot of people say, I like Jesus, I just don't want to get too close to Jesus. Proverbs 18:13 says, what a shame, yes, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Now, regarding Jesus' identity, and according to the disciples, the opinions of who Jesus was vary greatly and were far from factual. Some said Jesus was Jeremiah, others said Elijah, others suggested John the Baptist, still others said that he was maybe one of the other prophets. In John 7, 1 through 13, we find Jesus in Galilee, and once again, his true identity was the topic of discussion. Verse 12, some said he's a wonderful man, while others said he's duping the public. But this is where it gets interesting. No one had the courage to speak out for him in public for fear of reprisals from the Jewish leaders. You see, Jesus knew that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders were window shoppers. But Jesus was more concerned about his people, his disciples. Who do you think I am? Jesus asked them. You see, he wanted to know and hear the answer from these door-busting discipled believers who had gotten in front of the glass and opened the door to their hearts. Simon Peter, speaking for all of the door-busting believers and one who broke the glass between man and Messiah, said this. He says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. You see, Peter was a door-buster. And the doorbuster knew the Savior. Peter had a relationship with him. Peter trusted him and loved him, and he built something with him. And at that moment, when he was asked, who do you think I am? Peter was able to say, I know who you are. You are Jesus. You are my Savior. Let me ask you this. How well do we know him? I mean, how well do we really know him? Do you honestly feel like that you're close to him? Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to safely guard all that I have given him until the day of his return. We read Luke 13, 25 earlier. Jesus said to the window shoppers, remember these words? Scathing, scary words. He says, I do not know you. Luke 13, 27, Jesus says, I don't know you. God told his people in Hosea 6:6, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. How well do we know him? How well do we know him? Have we stepped behind the proverbial glass? Have we moved through the door and said, Jesus, today, I want to know you. Today, I want to build a relationship with you. Today, I want to love you. More than anybody else in this world, I want it to be me and you. See, to know him requires us to walk away from the proverbial window and walk through that proverbial and spiritual door and begin a relationship with him. Former Miss America Heather Whitestone McCallum once said this. She said, even though I grew up in the church, I did not accept Jesus as my Savior until I was 16. At that time, I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, and I began a personal relationship with him. He was and still is my role model. When we choose to know him and build a relationship with him, we receive, as Peter discovered, a blessing from him. We receive not as window shoppers, but as doorbusters and believers. We receive truth and understanding and revelation about him. We're going to have a little fun today. I need to ask you a question. Please don't answer out loud. This could really get you in trouble. But I want you to think about this. I want you to remember the first time that you had an interest in your boyfriend, girlfriend, engaged partner, which would be your fiance, or your spouse. Do you remember that? Remember when that happened? You were a window shopper, weren't you? We all were. We're window shoppers. You didn't go up to the person the first time and said, "Hey, I'm going to marry you because I like what I see." You didn't do it. Nobody does it. Well, if you did that, I want to hear about it because that would be an interesting story. You don't do it, right? Here's what you do. You do recon. We do recon. We talk to the family members, the siblings, the friends. We talk to the co-workers. We talk to the people to find out who this person is. We want to know more about this person. We like what we see, but we want to know more than what we see. And so you go on a recon mission. You're a window shopper. That's all you're doing because you're going to say, "I don't want to touch her. I don't want to see her. I don't even want to talk to her, but I want to learn about her." That's what we do. We're window shoppers. And then, remember that when you liked what you heard and you liked what you saw and you thought, this could go somewhere. And you decide at this point, maybe, I want to build a relationship with this person because I like what I see from behind the glass, and now it's time to walk through the door. And when you walk through the door and you bust down that door, that's when the relationship truly begins. Look at verse 17. "God has blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah," Jesus said, "for my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you. This is not from any human source." Folks, there is a lot of love when we have revelation and relations. It's great. It's great when God says, "This is the person that you need to be with the rest of your life." I remember my first date, went out with my wife, took her to see Cliffhanger with Stallone. That was my thing. And I mean, she eventually started to like Stallone. And we went and had a chicken dinner at a place that's now closed in Decatur, Illinois. And I remember that I took her home. I went home that night, but I got up the next day. My dad was out changing cultivator sweeps. I'll never forget. I used to hate when he would do that because he'd ask me to help him. And so he said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "I'm going to marry her." And he said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to marry her. I know. I just know it. This is it. This is the one. I know it." Now, I had done, just before you think, "Hey, man, nice job, you doorbuster." No. I spent about 3 months being a window shopper. I asked about everything. I found out everything about her. I knew that she was originally a White Sox fan. What? I knew that her dad was a Methodist minister, which scary PK, preacher's kid. I knew all these things about her. So I was ready, man. And as soon as that date happened, I became the doorbuster. I was ready. Folks, this is what we do. We want a relationship to begin. Now, let me explain this because it not only applies to our personal relationships, but applies to the church relationship. Do not think for a moment that this did not apply to your relationship with the Covell Community Church. Now, we are at somewhat of a disadvantage here in this church because you really can't be a true window shopper. You might get arrested if you try. We're elevated here. We have stained glass windows. If you try to peek through the glass, you're going to be very disappointed because you're not going to see anything. But I can tell you this, even though literally speaking you can't be a window shopper, every single person that walked into this church at one point was a window shopper. Nobody walked through that door. The first step they take is they say, "Woo! Yeah! I'm going to be a member. I like it." Here's what you did. You walked in, you looked around, you looked at the people, you studied the pastor, you listened to the choir, you wanted to hear the piano player, you looked at the hymnal, you did your recon. And you studied, and you learned, and you asked, and you found out. And somehow, along the way, you decided at some point, "I like this place." And at that point, you didn't feel like a window shopper anymore because you said this, "I want to build a relationship with this people, this place." And you did. And you busted down the door. And you came into this door a little differently when you decided that. You kicked it in. You said, "I'm here. I'm ready to commit. I love all these people. They're great." Hopefully you said that. That's what we do, right? It's how we study. It's how we learn. Well, we do the same thing with Jesus. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between someone who drives through the car lot and someone who takes a test drive? What's the difference between someone who looks at the sweater from the sidewalk and someone who walks through the door of the store to try it on? In each example, one person is serious about knowing the facts about the product before committing to the product. You see, Jesus understands that most of us start off as window shoppers. That's what we are. Remember the example of the church? Didn't you start off as a window shopper? At some point in your life, even when you were small and you walked through the doors of a church for the first time, didn't you think, "Whoa, I have a lot to learn about this place"? I was a kid and I walked into my aunt's church. I'll never forget it. I hope she doesn't listen online because this is really going to get me in trouble. But my aunt was very, very strong. My aunt and uncle were very strong in the Assemblies of God church, very strong. And so we went to this mega Assemblies of God church when I was growing up. And I remember the first time I walked through the doors of that church, and it was an amazing church. It was huge, but there was a lot of things going on I didn't understand when I walked through the doors of that church. And I remember thinking, I was holding onto my mom's hand, like gripping her with a death grip. Mom, don't leave me. And I was studying everything as a little kid, watching it, trying to gather information from it. And we do the same thing. We do it in our relationships. We do it in our church relationship. The question is, haven't we done it in our Jesus relationship? Didn't you just want to know a little bit more about Jesus, who he is, what he does, and how much he loves us? You see, Jesus wants believers, committed, relationship-building disciples. You know, there's a, I can't tell you this because I'm not in the industry. I'm just going to tell you this because I've seen the statistics, and they are real. I'm not making these up. There is a 50 to 60% better chance to sell a car if a test drive occurs. It's true. That's why on the day before Thanksgiving, if you've ever realized this, the day before Thanksgiving, the car dealerships will give away a free turkey, right? It's a $20 turkey. Let me tell you something. There's a hook, all right? They're giving you the $20 turkey in the hopes that you're going to take a test drive and drive home a $25,000 truck. That's what they're doing. That's the trade-off, right? They know how to do it. If they get you behind the wheel of that vehicle, you smell it, you touch it, you feel it, they think you're probably going to want to buy it. That's how it works. You know, it's interesting because in Von Maur, now I don't shop at Von Maur as much as I used to, but I remember way back in the days of Von Maur shopping there. I used to think it was really cool. I'm a marketing guy. So they had a sign there. And the sign was really interesting because it was on every single clothes rack that I can remember. And it said this. It says, go ahead, touch the merchandise. Remember that sign? Go ahead. So you go up and say, ooh, rayon. I could see myself wearing that. Nice. Cashmere, let's do it right here, right? Okay, so I remember that. Many of you will not know this. I'm going to tell 150 people this today. I used to have a real estate license. It's true. I was the worst realtor in the world, by the way. But I used to have one. And there was a slogan. It used to say, and I remember this slogan, open houses, sell houses. And I remember that. I remember there was this newspaper ad they bring out in the Pantograph that talks about all the houses that are for sale. And I occasionally had a couple in there. And I remember one of the lines that we were always told to use. I love this. And I'm just daft. I don't understand this. But I remember my first thought. But it says, not a drive-by. Remember my first thought was, oh, good. So safe neighborhood, no drive-by shootings. No, that was not it. No. But here's what not a drive-by means. Not a drive-by means you can't just drive by. Don't just drive by. Come in, experience the house, walk through the house, love the house, and then you'll buy the house. Jesus wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to walk away from the proverbial window and bust down the spiritual door. He says, enough of the window shopping. Now I just need you to be believing and loving and building a relationship with me. That's what he wants. Revelation 3:20. Listen to these words. Jesus says, look, I have been standing at the door and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. See, this fellowship leads to relationship. That's the way it works. Jesus was a doorbuster. He literally says, listen, you don't have to break it down. Don't even break it down. Don't even worry yourself. I'm going to open the door for you. I've been here waiting. The door's open. He's got to walk through it. You don't have to break it down. It's not stressful. Are you interested? Want to come through the door? Do you want to build a relationship? Do you want to start a fellowship with Jesus? It was true with Nicodemus. We read this last week. We referenced it last week. John 3:1-21, John 19:39-42. Nicodemus went from a window shopper in the middle of the night. Remember the story? He went out in the dark. He was a Pharisee and Jewish leader, member of the Sanhedrin. He went out in the middle of the night to seek out Jesus. He was a window shopper. He was gaining information. He was gaining intel. He was doing recon. He was trying to find out who Jesus was. But he went from a window shopper in the middle of the night to a presumed doorbuster and presumed believer several days later. Because as we read in John 19:39-42, he was the one who helped take the body of Jesus off the cross and embalm and wrap the body. Window shopper to believer. It can happen. How about Zacchaeus? Remember Zacchaeus? Man of short stature. He was a tree climber and a window shopper. He wanted to get a look at Jesus. Luke 19:1-10. But he went from window shopper, tree climber, to doorbuster and believer. Thomas. We remember Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. Thomas was a doubter, John 20, 24 through 27. Became a believer. Why did he become a believer? Because he was able to touch the merchandise. He needed to touch his Savior. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had heard Jesus' words. They observed his life. They witnessed his miracles. But they could only display hypocrisy and unbelief because they chose to stand behind the window instead of busting down the door. And that faithless act kept them separated from the truth and proof of this perfect Savior. Let me ask you something. Are we shoppers or are we seekers? See, there's a difference. There's a major difference. You see, seekers walk away from the window and they bust down the door. I'm going to give you an example. You ever go to the store and first thing you do when you walk in, you go into the store and the person says, "Hi, can I help you?" Now, if you're like 99.999% of the people, here's what you will always say. "No, I'm just looking," right? You say it every time. "Can I help you?" "No, I'm just looking." Can you imagine if you turn the tables and that person said, "Hi, can I help you?" And you say, "Yes, yes." I do this every time at Lowe's. Let me tell you, every time. That store confuses me. I don't like Lowe's. I don't understand it. It is too big for me. But when I walk into Lowe's, someone says, "Can I help you?" I'm like, "Yes, you have no idea how you can help me. I am desperate. I don't understand anything regarding tools." And I'll say, "I need a 3/4-inch screw." And the person will say this, and I love it. The person says, and this is so important, he says, "Come with me." Doesn't he? "Follow me. I'll take you exactly to where you need to be." And I love that. Now, guess what happens? You never think about this, but when that happens, you have now built a relationship because now it's a matter of trust. You're following him. He's leading you because you believe that he knows where that 3/4-inch screw is, and he's going to lead you to that place. It's the same way with Jesus. You see, Jesus says, "Can I help you?" And so many times people say, "Nah, I'm good, Jesus. Just looking. Just looking. No biggie." But can you imagine if we approach Jesus this way? He says, "Can I help you?" And you say, "Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can help me. You see, I want to know. I want to know more about you. I want to know how to love you. I want to know how to build a relationship with you. I want to know how to spend eternity with you." And what Jesus will say is this. He'll say, "Come follow me. I'll show you how to get there. I'll show you how to be that person. I'll show you how to live and look and love like me." This is his goal for us. You see, Jesus wants to move us from shoppers to seekers. When Jesus asks, "How can I help you?" I hope that we can say, "I need help." 2 Corinthians 6:2-3, "For God says, your cry came to me at a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered." Right now, Paul says, God is ready to welcome you today. He is ready to save you. Are we willing to leave the window and seek and bust down the door and commit to him and build a relationship and receive truth and blessing and revelation from him? You know, many will say yes, but their reluctance to leave the proverbial window will suggest that the real answer is no. Jesus says in John 5:39-40, he says, "You search the scriptures, for you believe they give you eternal life, and the scriptures point to me. Yet you won't come to me so that I can give you life eternal. Can I help you?" Yeah! You can help me. I want life eternal because I know there's more than this life. There's more to this life than this life. John 6:37, Jesus says, "Some will come to me." John 12:32, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to me." Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Why don't we bust down the door and seek him and come to him? I believe it's for two reasons. Number one, I believe it's because relationship comes with risk. And number two, it is because commitment comes with cost. I'm going to read Luke 14:25-33. This passage is interesting because, again, we're very close to what we read earlier. But I want you to listen because it is subheaded as the cost of discipleship. That's what we know this passage as. Folks, listen closely. In these words, if they don't scare you, you may be in the wrong place. Listen to what Jesus says. It says, "Great crowds were following him," him is Jesus. "Jesus turned around and he addressed them as follows." Listen to this, speaking of risk and cost. He says, anyone who wants to be my follower must love me far more than he does his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, or sisters. Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. And no one could be my disciple who does not carry his own cross and follow me. I'm going to interrupt myself for just a moment here. Folks, I know a lot of people who have walked away from Jesus Christ, who went from window shopper to unbeliever because they said, my kid, my mom, my dad, my spouse, they're unbelievers. And I'm going to choose to follow them instead of him. They put their family before their Savior. They put their family before their faith. Happens all the time. It happens all the time. I see people that walk away from Jesus Christ because they want to condone a sin that is being committed by their family member. And they say, I'll stand beside that family member. I'll be that person with him before I follow Jesus Christ and give my life to him. Jesus goes on. He says, listen to this, folks. It can't be any clearer. He says, don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if he has enough money to pay the bills? Otherwise, he might complete only the foundation before running out of funds, and then how everyone would laugh. And it goes on. He says, see that fellow there, they would say? He started that building and ran out of money before it was finished. Or what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat the 20,000 men who are marching against him? If the decision is negative, then while the enemy troops are still far away, he'll send a truce team to discuss terms of peace. So no one can become my disciple unless he first sits down and counts his blessings and then renounces them all for me. That's risk. That's cost. You see, anybody who says, man, this living this Christian life is easy, it's simple. It's simple. I'm asking you, what kind of life are you living? Because living a Christian life is never easy, and it's never simple. So what prevents us from becoming engaged? What prevents us from asking someone out on a date? You know what it is. It's risk. It's risk. It's cost. Many of you say, I'd love to ask her to marry me, but I don't have the money to buy a ring. Cost. I would love to ask this person out. I have a close person that is going through this right now. I'm like, just ask her out. And he said, I said, why? I'm afraid she'll say no. There's the risk, right? But here's the beauty of it. What does it cost? What does it cost to believe in Jesus Christ? Financially, nothing, right? But physically, spiritually, and emotionally, everything. I get it. There's cost. There's cost. What's the risk associated with loving Jesus Christ? There's risk. How about losing friends? How about losing your freedom as you would know it? How about giving him your life? That's risk. That's cost. You see, this is why the world and the church has so many window shoppers. The window allows us to look and not commit. The door is rife with risk and forces us to act. I want to read this passage because I think it ties in perfectly. Many of you might be familiar with Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, story about Paul being converted. It's a conversion of Saul from Tarsus. So if you read through it, you know that Paul was just terrible to Christians. He was arresting them. He was beating them. He was merciless when it came to Christians. And so he's on the way to Damascus to do this to more Christians, and he's blinded by this light. Blinded by the light. And all of a sudden, he's knocked down. He is knocked down. And so he gets up, and he's blinded, and they take him into Damascus. And he's in Damascus, and he's waiting. He's waiting. And here's where we pick this story up. Verse 10, chapter 9. Now there was in Damascus a believer named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! I didn't sound like that, but oh well. Yes, Lord, he replied. And the Lord said, go over to Straight Street and find the house of a man named Judas and ask there for Paul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now, for I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again. This is where Ananias becomes a window shopper. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. We hear that he has arrest warrants with him from the chief priests authorizing him to arrest every believer in Damascus. You know what he was saying?
I don't think so.
I like the glass. This is good. I'll just watch. See how this all goes down. This should be good. Here's what God says. The Lord says, go and do what I say. For Paul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the nations and before kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer, risk, cost for me. So all of a sudden, Ananias becomes a doorbuster, not a window shopper, a doorbuster. So Ananias went over and he found Paul, laid his hands on him and said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and get your sight back instantly. Instantly, it is though scales fell from his eyes, Paul could see and was immediately baptized. Can you imagine what would have happened if Ananias would have said, I like the window. I'll just stay behind the window. It's more comfortable behind the glass. Ananias didn't watch from behind the window. He sought Paul, and he busted down the door, and he saved Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, with a relationship with Jesus and his church, the commitment that comes with it, there is cost and there is risk. You see, you are going to be asked, as a member of the Covell Community Church, you are going to be asked to be one who is serving and helping and sacrificing and giving and loving and praying. And you say, that sounds easy, and it's not easy. Because if you're doing this every day, it will wear on you, it will exhaust you, it will challenge the very fabric of you. And I will tell you this, there are people that walk through the doors of the Covell Community Church, I've seen it, and they'll walk in, they'll spend a couple Sundays and say, I want to become a member! And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that you do. It's not like joining the Y. It's not like going to Gold's. I mean, you can go there anytime you want. It's not like that. See, this comes with risk, and this comes with cost. Now, I know what you might be thinking. He's trying to chase people off. He should be asking everybody to come in. I am. The door's open. I hope you'll bust down the door, but you need to know what you're getting yourself into. You see, there's cost, and there's risk. And as long as you know that, as long as I know that, because I know Jesus knows that, we're in good shape. And we can take this thing to the next level, and we can become disciples. You see, this church and many like it are filled with all walks of life, with everyone from a window shopper to a believer. But let me ask you this. How much do you know about Christ and this church? How much do you truly love Jesus Christ and the people of this church? Not the people in your pew that you're sitting next to arm in arm. No. I mean the people that are across the building, across the sanctuary, that you say, I've seen him, I've seen her. Gosh, I hope he doesn't come up and say it because I don't know his name. I have no idea who he is. That happened to me at Jewel Friday night. When I was showing me, the guy's like, Chad Sparks, how are you? And I look at him, I'm like, come on, help me. Rolodex. Hey, you! How are you? Good. How's everything? Great. Really good. All right, good seeing you. No idea who he was. I don't have a clue. No idea. All the time. How much do you know Jesus Christ? How much do you know the people of the church? How much are you willing to commit? And how much are you willing to risk for Jesus and the people of this church? You see, window shoppers don't get intimate with Christ, and they don't get involved in the church. Doorbusters do. Believers do. Paul said in Colossians 2:2, he says, this is what I've asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love, and that you will have the rich experience, here it comes, the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. Folks, don't let the proverbial barrier that keeps you from committing to and then loving and serving and growing with your church and Savior, don't let that stop you from being who Jesus wants you to be and for allowing him to do for you what he wants to do for you. You see, Jesus is standing at the door. He's opened the door. We've opened the doors. The question is, are we willing to commit and build a relationship with this and with him? If you choose to stay behind the window, you may never get to walk through heaven's door. Are you ready to commit? You got to know the cost. Got to know the risk. So, folks, this is it. Leave the window. Move through the door. Love and serve Jesus Christ. Build a relationship with Him. Build a relationship with them. This is what God has called us to do. This is our task and our joy in life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for making these things true. We thank You for Your written word that tells us what we're called to do and what You ask of us. I pray today that we'll knock the door down. I pray that we'll bust it down. And I pray that we will choose to build a relationship with You and the people, the great people of this church. Help us to know who they are. Help us to learn who they are. Help us to find out what they need and how we can better serve their needs. And help us to love You with all of our hearts. Let us never be window shoppers. I pray that no one in this church will be a window shopper. But I pray that all of us in this church will be believers and doorbusters who long to love and serve You. We thank You for this day. Thank You for everything that You've blessed us with. Help us as we go to our homes and return to our workplaces tomorrow. Help us to make an impact in this world that we live in. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.